Winter Wonderland. Lou. I wasn't prepared to return to Chateau Le Blanc. A chill skittered down my spine at the familiarity of the wind here, the taste of the salt and pine and magic. Beyond the eerie mist of L'Eau Mélancolique, waves crashed and gulls cried. The former had lulled me to sleep every night as a child, and the latter had woken me each morning. My bedroom window had overlooked the sea. Stop. Though I said the word quietly, Jean-Luc pulled on the reins of his horse, turning to face me. We should walk from here. My sisters stalk these trees at night. To my surprise, he nodded and complied without argument or scorn. Reed, however, stiffened and shook his head. Your sisters? Do you have any? Sliding from the saddle, I voiced the question with casual nonchalance. I knew the answer, of course, but he didn't know that. I'd spooked him before with talk of wives and magic. His physical response to me hadn't helped. If I had any chance of rekindling what we'd once had, it would take more than seduction, more than pleas. I'd need to fall in love with him all over again, the person he was now. And he would need to fall in love with me. When he didn't answer, I tried to clarify. Sisters, I mean. I knew what you meant, he said shortly. Right. I'd forgotten he was now an ass. Jean-Luc and Coco worked on tying the horses to trees while Celie and Beau approached. Beau rubbed his hands together against the cold. What's the plan? We charge in, swords drawn, banners flying? Mulligan would kill us before we even crossed the bridge. My eyes snagged on Celie's hands. She'd clasped them at her waist, the picture of propriety, except for the needle sticking between them. What is that? Slowly, she uncurled her fingers, revealing a crude metal syringe. She didn't cower or flinch beneath my black gaze as she said, matter-of-fact, an injection. I lost it at the beach, but Elvira returned it to me. I planned to stab it in your mother's throat. Ah. Coco and I shared an incredulous glance. Well, if that's all. Reed's eyes gleamed as he stepped forward, but Celie snatched it away before he could take it. Don't even think about it. It belongs to me. Jean-Luc and Coco joined us now.
What is the plan? The former asked. Do we have any strategy at all?
How did you sneak in on Modranit? I asked Coco. Madame Lebel transformed our faces. She shrugged helplessly. Reed, however, frowned at the name, his gaze turning inward, distant, as he found his mother in his memories. When his frown turned to a scowl, I knew he'd remembered her witch.
Can you do the same? If witches have gathered from all over the kingdom, we could slip inside without suspicion.
It's possible, but... I shook my head with mounting apprehension. Morgan might not remember me, but she'll remember how you infiltrated the castle. Others will remember, too. I doubt they'll fall for such a trick again, especially after Xena's attack. Everyone will be on high alert. Every stranger in the castle will be counted.
How did you sneak in? Coco asked Jean-Luc. You and the chasseur.
We waited on the beach until Madame Lebel led us through the enchantment. We had no need to disguise ourselves. We wanted the witches to see us approach, to know ours would be the last faces they ever saw.
Celie wrinkled her nose at the gratuitous explanation. Lovely. His expression turned solemn.
I'm still a chasseur, Celie. I still eradicate the occult. What I'm doing now, I'd lose my Belisarda if my brethren caught me here. I'd burn at the stake myself.
He gestured between us.
We all would. Unless we bring them La Dame de Sorcière's head.
Reed looked pointedly at Coco and me.
And those of her sisters.
Beau jutted a finger at him.
You don't get to talk anymore. Just be sure this is what you want.
Jean-Luc clutched Celie's hands, ignoring them both.
We can still walk away. You have a choice. You don't have to do this.
Celie's knuckles whitened around the injection.
Yes, I do.
Celie.
And you are not called to eradicate the occult, Jean. You are called to eradicate evil.
She pulled away from him, stepping backward to stand beside me.
There is evil in this chateau. Truthfully, we have no choice at all.
They stared at each other for several seconds, neither willing to blink, before Jean-Luc finally sighed.
If we must enter from the bridge, we need some sort of cover.
Reluctantly, he unbuckled his scabbard, retreating briefly to his horse to hide it within his pack. The sapphire of his Belisarda's hilt winked as he withdrew a set of knives instead.
Reed's eyes widened incredulously.
What are you doing?
Think, Reed. He tucked one knife into each boot. The only viable cover available to us is magic. He waved a hand in my direction, refusing to look at me.
Magic will not work if I carry my Belisarda.
Together they all turned to stare at me, as if I knew the answers, as if I held each of their fates in the palm of my hand. Stomach rolling, I forced myself to return their gaze, because in a way they were right. This was my ancestral home. These were my kin. If I couldn't protect them here, if I couldn't hide them from my sisters, they would indeed die.
Perhaps I should...
I cleared my throat.
Perhaps I should go in alone.
The thought met instantaneous and decisive objection, each of them speaking over the other. Coco and Beau refused to leave me, Celie demanded a chance to prove herself, and Jean-Luc insisted I would need his expertise. Even Reed shook his head in stoic silence, his eyes communicating what his mouth did not. Nothing would stand between him and his conquest. At the moment, that conquest was Morgan Leblanc. Soon he would realize his target had shifted, and the fleeting impulse to kill me would solidify into something very real and very dangerous. When he learned I'd become La Dame des Sorcières, I would no longer be safe with him, not until he remembered, not until I recaptured his heart.
We go where you go, he said with dark resolve.
My heart twisted with the words, and I turned away, closing my eyes. A web of golden patterns rose up to meet me. Studying them carefully, my lids fluttering in concentration, I discarded one after another, unsatisfied with each. This sort of magic, the sort to hide six people, would exact a heavy cost. Perhaps I could transform their bodies instead of their faces. They could become birds or squirrels or foxes, a rock in a badger's mouth. Expelling a sigh of frustration, I shook my head. Such transfiguration would probably kill me. Beau would have to live the rest of his life as a rock, or more likely, live as a rock forever because rocks didn't die. After another moment or two of my own fruitless searching, Coco said softly, "Could you make us invisible?" I didn't open my eyes, instead widening my inner sight for such a pattern. My skin tingled at the effort, my chest ached, an uncomfortable pressure building there. These cords, they felt simplistic somehow, inadequate, almost weak. Had something happened to my magic? Had Nicolina altered me somehow? I frowned and pushed harder, stamping a metaphorical foot at the injustice of it all. Heat fanned across my face in humiliation. Here I was, La Dame des Sorcières, famed and all-powerful, mother, maiden, and crone, yet I couldn't even cast an enchantment to protect my friends.
My sister chose wrong.
I could feel their expectant eyes on me now, waiting for a miracle. I stomped my foot again, this time in desperation, and the web beneath me bowed and rippled outward. Startled, I instinctively stomped once more. This time, the web broke. A web of pure, blinding white lay below it, and the tingle in my skin exploded in a wave of raw power. No, awareness. Every blade of grass, every flake of snow, every needle of pine I felt with such an intensity that I stumbled backward, breathless. Celie caught my arm.
Lou?
She asked in alarm. I didn't dare open my eyes, not when the web below offered so much more. I tracked each pattern eagerly, feverish with possibility. I'd thought my magic infinite before. I'd thought it limited only to my imagination. I'd been wrong. My magic had flowed through the land, but this magic, it was the land, this land. The triple goddess hadn't merely bestowed her form, she'd bestowed the heart of our entire people. My finger twitched and the web rippled outward, connected to my every thought, every emotion, every memory. My ancestors, too. I didn't just feel the grass. I was the grass. I'd become the snow and pine.
Lou, you're scaring me!
Coco's sharp voice cut through my wonder, and unbidden, my eyes snapped open. She stood directly in front of me. In the brown of her irises, my skin reflected back at me, bright and burnished, luminous.
What happened?
The ache in my chest towed me forward through the trees. I couldn't resist its pull.
I'm fine,
I called over my shoulder, chuckling at their wide eyes and parted mouths. Reed had drawn a knife from his bandolier. He regarded me with open suspicion. I couldn't bring myself to care.
I can hide everyone. Follow me. Coco rushed after me. How? I grinned at her. White patterns. Like the one at the blood camp? Her hopeful expression fell. The one that led you to Etienne? My smile slipped, and I shuddered to a halt, suddenly unsure. Do you think it's Morgan? I think we should consider the possibility. Your patterns have never been white before, have they?
You've never been La Dame de Celsia before either, Beau pointed out.
Though Coco and I both glared at him, it was too late. The damage had been done, and Reed's menacing presence loomed behind me.
You're La Dame de Sorcière.
With my newfound awareness, I could feel the weight of his footsteps. I could feel the snow and moss temp beneath his boots. His presence was heavier than the others, harder and stronger, darker. I scoffed, barely. Turning to Coco, trusting Beau and Celie and even Jean-Luc to protect my back, I said, It doesn't feel like Morgan. It feels familiar, yes, almost familial. But it also feels like me. I think I trust it. She nodded once in understanding. But how could she? I hardly understood myself. Though I implicitly trusted the wholeness of this magic, the purity, I felt much like a rowboat at sea. The ache in my chest kept building, pulling me adrift, dragging me beneath the current. Then do it, she said firmly. Do it quickly. Closing my eyes, ignoring Reed's vehement protest, I spread my awareness outward, farther and faster than before. There, a mile north, beneath the infamous bridge, a river crashed into the ocean. With the wave of my hand, the water solidified to ice, changing state of matter. The white pattern burst, and my friends and I dissolved into shadow. With our first steps on the bridge, my body attempted to rematerialize, limbs accumulating and dispersing with violent shudders. Except it wasn't my body at all. Gritting my teeth in concentration, I glanced down at my unfamiliar, disembodied hand, the maiden's hand. Shit. My whisper floated in the darkness as said hand dispersed to shadow once more. What is it? Coco asked sharply. I could just see her shadowed form beside Beau's, though the finer details of their appearance, such as the expressions on their faces, the gleam in their eyes, had been lost to the enchantment. Now they simply appeared pieces of night darker than the rest, human-shaped shadows. None would notice us unless they looked, and even then the smoke obscured all traces of moonlight. We were near invisible. Nothing. I just feel weird. Though incorporeal, my head still swam at the magnitude of power before me, at the sheer breadth of it. How had my mother withstood this? How had it not crushed her? It's too much. It's like I can't breathe.
So don't, Reed offered.
If I'd had hands, I might have strangled him. Perhaps I still would have tried if I hadn't looked up, past the gatehouse, to the empty expanse of mountain all around the chateau. I blinked slowly, unable to believe my eyes. Where before a mighty forest had prospered, now only rocks and dirt greeted me. Where are the trees? Someone bumped into me from behind. Jean-Luc.
What do you mean?
The trees! I gestured to the rocky incline above us, forgetting he couldn't see me. There used to be trees here. Trees everywhere. They covered this entire mountain face.
It's true.
Reed's heavy footsteps stopped beside me.
I remember.
We all crept forward, slower and warier now.
Perhaps they chopped them down, Beau said. And recently. Look, no snow.
I instantly disagreed. They didn't.
How do you know?
I just do. There are no stumps, Coco said, leaning forward. See? The ground does look disturbed, though.
Perhaps Xena scorched them all, then.
Beau pointed to the charred markings on the bridge, on the gatehouse ahead. Evidence of Xena's wrath. Still, the hair on my neck lifted. These trees hadn't been burned. Of that, I was certain. They looked like they just uprooted and walked away. Reed made a low, disparaging sound at the back of his throat. I ignored him. Instead, I started for the gatehouse once more, focusing on the sound of my feet on the wood. Whatever damage Xena had caused with her attack, little evidence remained. The structural integrity of the chateau remained intact, and even the facade bore little sign of fire. Magic was helpful that way. I suppose Morgane wouldn't have liked the soot underfoot. We paused inside the crumbling entrance to listen. Though the air in the courtyard could chill bone, the temperature within felt warm and balmy, despite the overgrown ruins of the hall. And the castle, it came alive at night. Voices echoed from all around, beyond the grand stairwell, through the corridors, within the great hall. Two lovers swept past hand in hand, and soon after, a manservant bustled through with a tray of what smelled like custard tarts. A handful of witchlings passed us a moment later to make shapes in the snow outside. Though I recognized none of them, the familiarity of it all made me smile. Nothing had changed. Reed unsheathed another knife beside me, and my smile faded. Everything had changed. At least Morgane hadn't deployed forces to Caesarine. Not yet, anyway. Keep close, I murmured, starting toward the staircase. Though my body remained like shadow, I kept to the edges of the room. Smoke had obscured the moonlight outside, yes, but inside, lit candles dripped from their candelabra and cast flickering light. I would take no chances. Morgane and Josephine are here somewhere. Perhaps Nicolina, too.
And the treasury? Reed murmured.
Follow me. I led them through a narrow door beneath the staircase, into the winding passage beyond. Though it would take longer to reach the treasury's tower this way, few others traveled it, and I couldn't explain the creeping dread in my chest. The longer I concealed my friends in shadow, the more agitated I became. Like the magic itself was rebelling against me, against them. It made little sense, yet wasn't the purpose of La Dame des Sorcières to protect her home. We were trespassers here, all of us, intent on thieving a sacred treasure. My magic didn't trust us, I realized in a burst of clarity. The air in the passage tasted stale, damp, and the moss on the stones muted our footsteps. A good thing, too, for at that exact moment a door cracked open ahead, and three figures spilled out into the semi-darkness. I froze mid-step, my heart pounding in my ears. I heard their voices before I saw their faces. Morgane, Josephine, and Nicolina. They strode forward, deep in harried conversation, and I seized Reed before they could see us, pushing him into the nearest alcove. Celie and Jean-Luc barreled in behind as Coco and Beau did the same across the hall. The space was too small, however. My cheek smashed against Reed's chest, and behind me, Jean-Luc's knee stabbed my thigh. Celie trembled visibly. Contorting my arm, I wrapped it around her to hide the movement and comfort her in equal measure. No one dared breathe. I do not care what you say, Morgane hissed at Josephine, visibly agitated. She'd swept her white hair into a tangled braid, and her eyes remained shot through with blood. Fatigue lent a grayish hue to her skin. The time is now. I tire of these incessant games. The trees have mobilized, and we shall follow, striking hard and true while the conclave deliberates. Josephine shook her head curtly. I do not think this wise. We must proceed with the plan as scheduled. Your daughter, the king's children, they will— Morgane wheeled to face her, nostrils flaring with sudden rage. For the last time, Josephine, I do not have a daughter, and if I must repeat myself again, I shall rend your tongue from your miserable throat. I do not have a daughter. Ah. My heart twisted unexpectedly. Though I'd suspected she'd forgotten me, suspecting the truth versus knowing it, versus hearing it, were two entirely different things. It shouldn't have hurt as much as it did, but here, in my childhood home, surrounded by sisters who'd cheered as my blood had spilled, it pinched, just a bit. I searched Reed's shadowed face. This close, I could see the shape of his eyes, the set of his mouth. He glared back at me. I looked away. Cackling, Nicolina sang, "The dead should not remember. Beware the night the dream, for in their chest is memory." Morgane struck her across the face without warning. The angry crack resounded through the passage. You do not speak. A vein pulsed in my mother's forehead. You do not breathe unless I will it. How many times must I punish you before you understand? When she lifted her hand once more, Nicolina flinched. She actually flinched. Instead of striking her, however, Morgane wrapped her knuckles across Nicolina's forehead. Well, how many? Or are your ears as addled as your brain, you worthless imp? Nicolina withdrew visibly at the insult, her expression emptying. She stared past Morgane as a red handprint bloomed on her cheek.
As I thought.
With a sneer, Morgane proceeded toward us up the corridor, her own mottled cheeks visible even in the candlelight.
I should have killed you when I had the chance.
Josephine only arched a brow at her ward and followed. Celie wasn't the only one trembling now. My own hands shook as Nicolina drifted after them, as vacant and lifeless as the wraiths outside. And even Reed's heart beat an uneven tattoo against my ear. He stood rigid as she passed, but I felt his hand creep slowly up my back. I felt his knife. Whether he meant to kill me or Nicolina, I never discovered. Because before she disappeared around the corner, Nicolina turned toward our alcove. Her eyes met mine. And I knew, as instinctively as I'd known the trees had walked and my magic wanted to protect Chateau Leblanc, I knew that she'd seen me. Reed's knife stilled with her footsteps.
Hello, mouse, she whispered,
her fingers wrapping around the bend. Pure, unadulterated fear snaked through me at the words. I could do nothing but stare, paralyzed. A single shout from her could kill us all. We waited, breaths bated, as Nicolina tilted her head. As she slipped around the corner without a sound.
What are we doing?
Reed's voice sounded in my ear, low and furious.
We can still catch her. Move!
I stared at the spot from which she'd vanished, my mind reeling. She didn't reappear, however, and no sounds of alarm rent the silence. No sounds of pursuit.
She let us go.
To kill us later.
She could have killed us just then, but she didn't. I scowled now, thoroughly disenchanted with his single-minded intensity. It bordered on pig-headed. Had he been this stupid when I'd first met him? Was his mind the addled one? I don't know why, but I do know I won't be looking a gift horse in the mouth. She's with Morgane and La Voisin, I added when he tried to move around me. I planted my feet.
Now isn't the time for this confrontation. We made a deal with Isla. We get in, we get out, and we give her the ring.
Unacceptable.
That knife finally pressed between my shoulder blades.
I am not here for a magic ring, Louise. If you don't move out of my way, I will find another witch to kill.
I poked him in the chest, hard.
Listen to me, jackass.
My voice rose at the word, and I hastened to lower it once more.
Isla needs that ring. We need the Melusine. The sooner we finish here, the sooner we can unite our allies, the sooner we can formulate a plan of attack.
I have a plan. Attack. Morgane is here, not in Caesarine.
Your mother is in Caesarine.
I don't care about my mother,
he snarled, shouldering past me at last. I stumbled into Jean-Luc, who overcorrected, knocking Celie into Reed and plunging me into the corridor alone. I whirled to face him, swearing loudly, then froze. Manon stared back at me.
Hello?
Her eyes narrowed suspiciously, flitting over my dark shape, and she lifted a hand as if to touch me. I scuttered backward. I had no choice. If she touched me, she'd realize without a doubt that I was human. When her frown deepened, I winced, realizing too late that shadows didn't scutter.
Who's there?
She flicked a thin blade from her sleeve.
Show yourself, or I'll summon the sentries.
Why did every plan I ever made go to complete and total shit? Lips flattening, I cracked open that door of power in my chest, beneath which the white web shimmered. It would be a risk to change forms, but Morgane was clever. Though she'd undoubtedly realized the triple goddess had revoked her blessing, perhaps she hadn't yet told our kin. Either way, I couldn't simply stand here with a knife in front and a knife behind, and I couldn't reveal my true form either. This newfound power would make it easier, surely. I sought to remember my childhood classroom, racked my mind for everything I knew of the triple goddess and her forms. Her final counterpart is the crone, who embodies aging and ending, death and rebirth, past lives and transformations, visions and prophecies. She is our guide. She is dusk and night, autumn and winter. Fitting, as we'd probably all die here anyway. I focused on those traits, tried to center myself around them, as other memories consumed. My life in this castle, my blood in the basin, my farewell to Ansel. That feeling of bone-deep acceptance. My transformation into the maiden had happened easily, without intent. But this transformation came easier still. Perhaps once I would have empathized most with the maiden, and I still did to an extent. But that joyous season of light had passed. I'd lived in winter for too long. To my surprise, I didn't regret the change. I relished it. My hands withered and cracked as the shadows around them dissipated, and my spine bowed beneath years of fatigue. My vision clouded, my flesh sagged. Triumphant, exorbitantly pleased with myself, I lifted a gnarled finger to Manon's startled face. I'd done it. I'd transformed.
"Out for a moonlit stroll, dearie,"
my voice warbled, unfamiliar and deep and unpleasant. I cackled at the sound, and Manon retreated a step.
"Not much moonlight tonight, I'm afraid."
My tongue flicked past the gap in my eye teeth as I leered at her.
"Shall I join you?"
She sank into a hasty curtsy. "My lady, I am sorry, I didn't recognize you."
"Some nights I must pass unseen, Manon."
"Of course." She ducked her head. Too late, I realized she'd been crying. The coal around her eyes had tracked down her cheeks, and her nose still ran. She sniffed as quietly as possible. "I understand."
"Is something wrong, child?"
"No." She spoke the word too quickly, still backing away. "No, my lady, I am sorry to have bothered you." I didn't need the crone's vision to see her lie. Truthfully, I needn't have asked at all. She still grieved her dead lover, Gilles, the man she'd killed with her own hands, all because he'd been a son of the king.
"A cup of chamomile tea, my dear."
When she blinked, confused, I clarified.
"In the kitchens, brew and steep a cup. It will settle your nerves and send you to sleep."
With another curtsy and word of thanks, she departed, and I sagged against the nearest wall.
"Holy shit," Beau breathed.
"That was incredible," Coco added.
"Release me."
Reed broke Jean-Luc's hold swiftly, efficiently, his throat corded with strain. He whirled on him in a storm of fury.
"She was isolated, the situation controlled. We should have struck."
"And then what?"
Flinging my hands in the air, I hobbled toward him.
"Really, what's the next step in this master plan of yours, Shus? We hide her body for someone to stumble across. We stuff her in the closet. We can't risk anyone knowing we're here."
"You're jeopardizing the mission, Reed," Jean-Luc agreed darkly. "And you're endangering everyone here. Follow her orders or I'll incapacitate you."
Reed stepped toe-to-toe with him.
"I'd like to see that, Jean."
"Oh, shut it, or I'll stuff your body in the goddamn closet."
Losing patience completely, I whirled, though in reality it looked more like a shuffle, and doddered up the passage once more.
"We've wasted enough time here."
Reed followed in mutinous silence.